It is never too late to rewire your brain and transform your life. I know this is possible for each of us because I experienced it. Hi, I'm Dr. Shauna Shapiro, a professor and scientist, and I'm delighted to be here with you for this course on mindfulness. The practices contained in this course offer a roadmap for strengthening the brain's circuitry of deep calm, contentment, and clarity. I'd like to begin by sharing a story about my first meditation retreat. I was at a monastery in Thailand, and the monks didn't speak much English. I didn't speak any Thai, but I knew mindfulness was about being present, and I felt confident and excited to begin. The first morning, we gathered in the large meditation hall overlooking a beautiful pond filled with lotus flowers. I couldn't imagine a more perfect setting for beginning my first retreat. The initial instructions were simple, straightforward. Feel the breath going in and out of my nose. So I began. One breath, two breaths. My mind wandered off. I brought it back. One breath, two breaths, darn it, wandered again. Perhaps you've noticed your own mind wandering off. I'd expected meditation to be an immediately peaceful and healing experience, yet here I was, struggling just to keep my mind present. I was sucked into the past. If only I'd done this, or I wish I hadn't have done that. Or swept by the future. What if this happens? How will I handle this? What will I do when? The more I tried to force my mind to be still, the more my attention darted from one thought to another. I finally understood the meaning of monkey mind. The fact that the mind is swinging from thought to thought like a monkey from limb to limb. My hopes for having the perfect meditation retreat in this perfect setting in Thailand came crashing down, and I dove into self-judgment. What is wrong with you? You're terrible at this. Why are you even here? You're a fake. Worse still, I started judging everyone around me, even the monks. Why are they just sitting here? Shouldn't they be doing something? Fortunately, a monk from London arrived who spoke English and agreed to have an interview with me. When I shared with him about how hard I was trying and how terribly I was failing, he responded with a chuckle, "Oh dear, you're not practicing mindfulness. You're practicing judgment, impatience, frustration." Then he said five words that I will never forget. What you practice grows stronger. What you practice grows stronger. We know this now with neuroplasticity. Whatever we practice moment by moment physically alters our brain. The monk went on to explain that if we practice mindfulness with judgment, we're growing judgment. If we practice with frustration, we're growing frustration. He taught me that mindfulness isn't just about paying attention. It's about how we pay attention, our attitude. This wise monk helped me understand that true mindfulness involves an attitude of kindness and curiosity. He explained that the practice of mindfulness was like feeling the loving embrace of a dear friend who welcomes all of our experience, even the messy, imperfect parts. What I only glimpsed at the time, but became the focus of my research and my life's work, is that cultivating this attitude of kindness and compassion is the secret sauce that gives us the resources to live our best lives. But there's a third element of mindfulness I had yet to learn. Toward the end of the retreat, the monk pointed out that we're practicing something all the time, not just when we're meditating, but in every moment. This means we're growing something in every moment. So the most important question becomes, what do you want to grow? This is your intention, what you care most about, your personal values, your goals, your aspirations. it is essential to know why we're paying attention, why we're practicing. Our intention helps set the compass of our heart in the direction we want to head. With the monk's help, I began to practice these three elements of mindfulness: intention, attention, and attitude. And my entire experience began to change. I felt the purity of my intention to heal and to learn, and I allowed it to guide me. I brought more kindness, an attitude of curiosity and openness to my attention. And most importantly, I began to relax a bit more instead of trying to do it right. I realized that mindfulness isn't about perfect, it's about practice. So let's begin our first practice together. The most important place to begin is with our intention. It is essential to begin this course with an understanding of why are you here? Why are you taking this course? Why now? What are you most longing for? The power of intention is not to be underestimated. Our intentions set the stage for what is possible. They help us stay connected with our personal blueprint for what we value most. So let's begin by sitting quietly and allow your attention to rest on the natural flow of breath, rising and falling in the body. You can allow your eyes to close, or you can just look down at the floor in front of you. Feel yourself grounded and present. And bring an attitude of kindness, of curiosity, to whatever arises. When you're ready, inviting in an intention for this journey, asking yourself, what truly motivates me at this time? What do I care about? What am I hoping for? Feel your breath, feel your body, and simply listen. Listening with your whole being. Asking yourself, in what direction do I want to set the compass of my heart? It could be toward greater clarity or greater ease or more joy. It could be being more present with your children. Whatever it is for you, let it arise from your deepest knowing. On some level, you already know the answer. We are simply creating the space to let this knowledge rise to the surface. Feel your breath, feel your body. Don't make this a mental activity where you're trying to choose the right or most perfect intention. Simply listen, feel, open. Stay curious and kind. And taking another breath in and out, softening the body 5% more, and just allowing the intention to settle in your being. If nothing arose, you can make the intention to keep listening. And if something clear did arise, you can let your eyes open. And I encourage you to write down your intention. There's something that really helps clarify it in your being by stating it, writing it, making it solid. I suggest that you keep a journal during this course so you can return to your insights and these teachings at any time. So as we draw this first session to a close, I want to talk to you about something called gold nuggets, or your key takeaways from each session. According to Nobel Prize-winning psychologist Daniel Kahneman, the peak-end rule teaches us that we remember the peak and the end of an experience. That's why I suggest that at the end of each session, we reflect on what the peak was, what our key takeaway is. And in doing so, it will help reinforce the highlights and encode them in your long-term memory. So take a moment now and reflect on one or two key teachings in the session. I call these your gold nuggets, and it might be what you practice grows stronger, or practice not perfect, or the power of intention. And so as you're ready, you can just write down this one gold nugget. And then taking another moment to allow your eyes to close and just thanking yourself for dedicating your time and attention to these teachings. Feel the wholesomeness of these practices and trust that the seeds you are planting will continue to grow. I look forward to our next session together.